I know some Christians who are afraid to pray before meals in a restaurant. What will other people think? Maybe they'll think I'm a fanatic. And so I'll pray in secret, but I'm not going to pray when I go to Chili's or when I go to, you know, some other restaurant. And so I'm just afraid of what other people think. Well, he could have done that. But if he'd done that, then those guys actually win because they're trying to get him to back down and to cave in and to be ashamed of his God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Have you ever felt pressured to make choices that don't align with your values? Well, the truth is, we all have. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Box. This beautifully designed and stylish vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated scripture cards that will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you. You can take a sneak peek just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Let's get started. Here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called, Will You Stand Strong for God Publicly?
Here's where we left off last time. King Belshazzar, remember, that's the guy who saw the writing on the wall. Remember that? And he said, your days are numbered. It's over, buddy. You didn't honor God. King Belshazzar promoted Daniel to be, here's another promotion, to be the third highest ruler in his kingdom. However, that wasn't a very long promotion because it says that very night, King Belshazzar was killed by Darius the Mede, who took over the kingdom at the age of 62. So now Daniel is still in the royal palace in Babylon, but he's got a new boss. And the guy's not a Babylonian, he's actually a Mede and a Persian. And once again, he gets promoted to a more powerful position. Keeps changing bosses, but the new guys keep promoting him. My first question, before we actually get into what I want to speak about this weekend, is why? What was it about this guy so unique that he kept getting promoted at work? Because if we could bottle that, I'd sell it to you. Who doesn't want to be promoted in life? Who doesn't want to be progressing up a ladder to greater effectiveness, greater efficiency, greater influence, greater income, and things like that? So why did Daniel keep getting promoted at work? Well, in Daniel chapter 6, which is the chapter we're in this week, in the next three verses, it tells us the three reasons. So listen, if you're interested in getting a promotion at work, pay attention to the next three verses. Because these are the three reasons Daniel outlasted everybody else at his workplace. I want you to outlast everybody at your workplace. I want you to keep getting promoted. And there were three reasons why Daniel kept getting promoted from teenager until now. He's 82 years old. And he still hasn't done his best work. His best work was actually done at age 85. So he's not finished. He doesn't believe in the word retirement. And by the way, neither do I, because it's not in the Bible. Okay? Now, you may change jobs. Earlier in life, you may be paid to do good. Now you're good for nothing. All right? So here are the three reasons Daniel kept getting promoted at work. Number one, his professional competence made him stand out. His professional competence made him stand out. It is clear this guy is a gifted leader. But more than that, he learned. He was a student. We talked about this a few weeks ago. All leaders are learners. The moment you stop learning, you stop leading. He was a student of God's word. He was a student of people. He was a student of history. He was a student of culture. The Bible says that he spent his entire life learning. He just kept getting wiser and wiser and wiser. Now, if you make wisdom a goal of your life, there's no end to that one. You can just keep getting better and better and better. You know, there are some careers that peak pretty early in life. I want you to do a study of this. For instance, if you want to be a female Olympic gymnast, you peak at about 17. And then you're going to be replaced by somebody else who's 14 or 15 or 16 because your body just isn't that limber when you're 25 and certainly not at 35. If you're going to play in the NFL, you know, you're going to peak at maybe 28, 29 years old. In different careers, you peak at a certain level and then it's over. But if you decide to be a woman or a man who says, I want to be a woman of wisdom, I want to be a man of wisdom. At 85 years old, you can be a whole lot wiser than you were at 84.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Please stay with us because there's a lot more of our series, Unshakable, coming right up.
Thanks for joining us today here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. As Christians, we know that in order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need His Word deep down in our hearts. Right now, I'd like to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. This vegan leather box is filled with full-color, artfully illustrated, and inspiring scripture cards, along with graphically designed four-color lined cards for your favorite Bible verses, personal notes, and observations. This resource will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you, when you're looking for answers to difficult questions, or when you just need to be refreshed in the Lord. The Verses of Hope Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your office or living space. It's a great way to start a conversation with people around you about God's Word. Limited quantities are available, so act now. To get your very own Verses of Hope Scripture Box, just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
I want you to do a study of this. For instance, if you want to be a female Olympic gymnast, you peak at about 17. And then you're going to be replaced by somebody else who's 14 or 15 or 60 because your body just isn't that limber when you're 25 and certainly not at 35. If you're going to play in the NFL, you know, you're going to peak at maybe 28, 29 years old. In different careers, you peak at a certain level and then it's over. But if you decide to be a woman or a man who says, I want to be a woman of wisdom, I want to be a man of wisdom, at 85 years old, you can be a whole lot wiser than you were at 84 and 83 and 82. And it's one area you can just keep growing in. So he kept growing in competence. He was more skilled. He was more effective. The Bible says this in Daniel 6, verse 3. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself above all the others, the other governors and the administrators, they were called satraps, by his exceptional qualities, that the king planned to put Daniel in charge of the entire kingdom. You know, the Bible tells us in the first verses before that, that Darius, when he took over the kingdom, he reorganized and he said, I'm going to have 120 provinces in the Babylonian Empire, which I now run. He wasn't Babylonian. 120, and I'll have an administrator over each one, and I'm going to have three governors over that. And he chose Daniel as one of the three governors. So Daniel was one of the three most powerful men in the empire. But he did such a good job that it says here, Daniel so distinguished himself above all the other governors, there were three of them, and all the administrators, the satraps, that's 120, by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to put him in charge of the entire kingdom. He's 82 years old, he's getting another promotion. That's a wise leader. Professional competence. Number two, second reason he kept getting promoted, his personal character made him stand out. Not just professional competence, but personal character. This was a man of integrity. He was a man of generosity. He was a man of humility. He was a man of godliness and goodness and kindness and wisdom. And the Bible says in the next verse, verse 4, when the administrators They were called satraps in that day. When the administrators heard the news, they tried to find a reason to undermine Daniel in his work, and they accused him of misconduct, but they were unable to do so. They could not find anything to say against him. Whoa. He was honest, reliable, hardworking, and incorruptible. He was never lazy or negligent in any task. Well, no wonder he kept getting promoted. I'd like to hire this guy. And so would you. Now, notice, we don't know why, but these underlings who were in the provinces, they didn't like Daniel being their boss. Probably because he was Jewish. But they started trying to undermine him. You may be in a work situation right now that there are some people who are conspiring against you at work because of your faith, because you're a Christian. And you know, they don't really like you. They don't have any reason to not like you. You're a good person. But because of your faith, they just want you out. And sometimes you get into an office where everybody's familiar with office politics, and people are scheming and conniving behind your back, and they want your office, and they want to get you moved out. And this is what happened here. The administrators in this new administration hear that Daniel, who's one of the top three guys, is going to be given the whole kingdom. And they go, we're not going to have that happen. We're not going to serve that guy. And so they start looking for a way to trap him. The satraps set up a trap for Daniel. And it says they couldn't find anything to say against him. What a testimony. That's certainly not true of me. There's a lot of things people could say against me. It's probably not true of you. There are probably a lot of things people could say against you. But this guy, it says, when they went looking for dirt, scandal, a skeleton in the closet, hypocrisy, bad character, whatever. They were looking for anything. It says they could not find anything. They were unable to find anything to say against him because he was honest and reliable and hardworking, and his personal character made him stand out. He was professionally competent, but he was also personally a man of character. But there's a third element, and this is the most important one of all, and it's this. His public commitment to God made him stand out. His public commitment to God made him stand out. He just didn't have professional competence and personal character. He had a public commitment to God. Daniel's very open. He's very public about his faith, about his love for God, about his commitment. He prays in the open. He talks about God in the open. Remember, he had led Nebuchadnezzar to faith in Christ, or faith in God. And everybody knew where Daniel stood religiously, where his faith was, where his allegiance was, including his jealous co-workers. And it says in verse 5 that his co-workers, these enemies who were conspiring to get him fired at work, that's what's happening here. And you may have some co-workers who are conspiring to get you fired at work. He says, his co-workers concluded, our only chance of finding any grounds to get rid of Daniel will we find something to accuse in his religious practices. Wow. I said, the guy's done nothing wrong. He's spotless. Do we need leaders like that in America? Don't get me started. Don't get me started. We need leaders of integrity like this. They said, can't find anything wrong with him. Today, can you find anything right with him? And so the satraps concoct a Daniel trap. And let's read the story, and then we'll extract some lessons for today. Up here on the screen, it says this, verse 6 to 9. So the officials who wanted Daniel removed from office went to the king, this is Darius, and they said, King Darius, live forever. They're buttering him up. Oh, you're so great. You are the man, Darius. You live forever, buddy. And he said, we've convened everyone, of course, not Daniel, and we've all agreed that for the next 30 days, everyone should pray to you. What are they doing? They're appealing to this guy's ego. Oh, you're so great. You're the man. We just think, you know, yeah, everybody's got the religion here, but, and actually the Babylonians and the Persians, they really didn't care so much about what you leave. There wasn't a standard religion, but they said, we really think everybody should pray to you for 30 days. Now, they're setting this up just to make a trap for Daniel. And they said, and we think that you should issue an edict saying that anyone who disobeys your order by praying to anybody else during the next 30 days will be tossed into the pit where your lions are kept. Ever heard of Daniel in the lion's den? This is the story. And let's put this decree in writing so it can't be altered or repealed according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians. So that's exactly what King Darius did. Now, the law of the Medes and the Persians is very famous in history, and it's this. If a king made a law, it could never be reversed, and even the king couldn't reverse it. If he'd signed it into the law, according to the law of Medes and Persians, once it was law, it could not be rescinded, could not be revoked, could not be repealed, and the king couldn't even do it himself, even if he made the law. And so that's why they said, don't just make this edict. Make a law and write it and sign it. And what are they doing? They're kissing up to this guy's ego, and in a moment of weakness and ego, Darius goes, sure, why not? So he signs this law. Everybody has to pray to me for the next 30 days. Now, these guys are so desperate to get rid of Daniel that they pass a national law just to hurt one guy. There's only one guy they're worried about. This one guy. Because everybody knows Daniel is a believer, and he prays in the open, and he talks about God in the open. Now, how do you think Daniel responded to this test? Everybody's got to stop praying to anybody else, and you got to pray to the emperor for 30 days. Well, he's got a lot of options. So let's put some up here on the board. Here's some options. He could, number one, he could accept the law and kind of fake pray to the king for 30 days. He wouldn't obviously be praying to him, but he could pretend. He could just go, okay, I'm just going to go with the flow. It's the law of the land. And so I'm just going to go ahead and fake pray to the king for 30 days. That's an option. Okay, here's a second one. He could publicly protest the law with picket signs. Okay, he could go down to the palace with a picket sign. I won't pray. I won't pray. I won't pray. Okay, that's a possibility. But it's not going to do any good because the law of the Medes and the Persian, this is not a democracy. In America, laws can be changed. And you can protest, and you can change laws. But this is not a democracy. So there's no way this law is going to be rescinded, no matter how much he protests. Now, here's a third possibility. He could appeal privately to the king. Obviously, Darius liked him. He had promoted him to the third in command, and then was going to put him over the entire kingdom. So he's got a good relationship with the king. He could probably just go backdoor channel and say, hey, king, come on, cut me some slack on this. You know I'm Jewish. You know I believe in the true God. Why don't you just cut some corners here and let me do that? He could appeal privately. But again, even the king couldn't reverse this law. Here's another possibility. He could just stop praying to God for 30 days. Not pray to the emperor, but just stop praying to God for 30 days. That's an option. It's not a good one, but it's an option. Here's another one. Number five, he could keep praying to God, the real God, just do it in secret. Now, some of you think, well, what's wrong with that? Okay, the law says you can't do it, but you're going to break the law. Just keep praying, but pray in secret. Well, although Daniel could do this, if he did, his enemies just won what they wanted because they wanted to embarrass him. They wanted him to back down off his faith. And he was the kind of guy who prayed in public. He prayed before meals. I know some Christians who are afraid to pray before meals in a restaurant. What will other people think? Maybe they'll think I'm a fanatic. And so I'll pray in secret, but I'm not going to pray when I go to Chili's or when I go to, you know, some other restaurant. And I'm just afraid of what other people think. Well, he could have done that. But if he'd done that, then those guys actually win because they're trying to get him to back down and to cave in and to be ashamed of his God. Then there is, of course, the sixth option, which is keep praying in public as he'd done all his life. In other words, it was his habit and it was his custom. Now, which of those six options would you choose if you were Daniel? The easiest one? The convenient one? Or the one that in all likelihood would throw you into a pit with a bunch of lions? I think the big question of this text is this: how far are you willing to go for your faith? Or as the title of the message is, will you stand strong for God publicly?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional, and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 7:2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down, and also keep them deep within your heart." But how can we get God's Word rooted deeply in our hearts in an effective, long-lasting, and transformative way? Well, there's a lot of great ways, and here's Pastor Rick to tell you about one of them right now.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, "I can't do that." Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart." To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful gold scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses that we give you and some that you can develop on your own. Now, we've started a collection of 40 verses about hope. These are going to encourage you when you feel down and discouraged. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's word in your mind so you can remember it and you can use it when you need it. Now, I had a graphic artist create Bible verse cards with multiple graphic designs and really cool colors, so you're going to enjoy studying these verses. It's not just words on a blank card, but the colors will actually help you remember these Bible verses. And to help you develop the habit of memorizing Scripture, we've included 64 full-color decorated cards with lines that you can practice writing out your favorite verses. So in addition to the 40 verses of hope, you can write down verses that are meaningful to you, that come to you in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you to use these cards to write down the scriptures that you want to put in your mind and to hide in your heart. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful gold box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, "I can't memorize anything." Oh, yes, you can. Do you remember a phone number? You remember a recipe? You remember a baseball statistic? You remember the words to a song? You remember whatever's important to you. And memory is a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. So study after study have shown that if you teach a child to memorize Scripture, they'll be a better student at school too, because it strengthens your mind right away. Now, imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. Now, my hope is that this tool will help you learn to love God's Word, listen to God's Word, and live God's Word as you share it with others. Now, while you're working on these verses and some of the verses you want to do, my team's actually working on new sets of Bible verses that will be released throughout the year that you can add to your collection. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
Limited quantities are available, so act now to get your very own vegan leather Verses of Hope scripture box. Just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.